Welcome to the Grace Vineyard Podcast, where we are building growing communities of worshipers who are becoming like Christ, empowered to do His work. We hope you enjoy this message.
My name is Ron, and we're going to do some teaching from the Word of God. Hope that's good with you. And we're going to be talking again about fighting the good fight of the faith. We talked about that last week, and today we're going to be talking about forcefully advancing. That's a phrase out of the Bible that I'm going to share with you in a moment, some moments, words of Jesus. But we're talking, last week there was a sense of what to do when you're under attack in fighting the good fight, that fighting the good fight is language Paul used, borrowing from the Greek games, the Olympic games for us now, the wrestling match. And he described in a metaphor that our life in Christ is sometimes like we are in a fight because there's an enemy. Well, today we're shifting to the focus on our attack in the fight of the good fight of faith. If that makes sense yet, it'll make sense in the future in the next minutes. But yesterday, we had an opportunity to join with Convicted for Christ Ministries at the Humanity Showers. Some of you went, I can hear that. And so that was, in fact, doing the very thing that I'm talking about, going into places where the kingdom of darkness has had sway over people, oppressed people, done damage. And we're coming with freedom. We're coming with victory. We're coming with Jesus, his message. We're coming with healing. We're coming with love and kindness. And I just asked Snake and Mike, you know, how'd it go? I had to be somewhere else. So I couldn't be with you. And they told me Steve Pittman would love to tell a story. That's why he's up here. So, Steve.
No. It didn't start like that.
Okay. Well, I don't know what happened on your end.
Yeah. On my end, it was...
They asked you to?
It's a little bit different.
You got voluntold?
I'm really good at delegating people to do things. This morning, I got delegated. Thank you, Michael.
Well, it's about time.
but it's...
You know, they say what goes around comes around?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, I'm the least likely guy to talk about homelessness and ministries and things like that. I'm more of a, I like to actually be behind the scenes. I like speaking, I like talking to people and things like that. But there's two guys in here who've captured my heart, Snake and Michael. I mean, please.
I can understand.
Give God the glory for what he's doing in these men's lives.
Yeah.
That's not loud enough. Oh. Praise God for Michael and Snake, okay? Let's just go there and do that. I'm sorry, I may have taken a jewel out of part of your crown, but you guys are going to be loaded. So yesterday, we had an opportunity to offer 48 homeless folks dignity, kindness, humanity, generosity. And what happened there was, it brings me to tears. It does. Because I was talking to Lisa yesterday on the way home. She came with me, and I said, sweetheart, you got to see this. Because I went last month, and she's in town this week, and I said, you got to see this. I made her go with me yesterday, okay? She's glad she did. On the way home, I said, well, that was good. And she goes, you know, that was good on so many levels. So this morning, and yesterday, the board and I, we had some chats back and forth between Snake and Michael, and we were talking about the goodness of what was going on. And at one point, somebody was saying, you know, Michael can do all things through God's Spirit in him, and I give a big hurrah to that. Yes, Michael does, Snake does. But what I said was this. Yesterday, a bit of heaven touched that corner in downtown Oceanside.
Yeah.
And I felt an aura all around that. As a matter of fact, it was so powerful that the people who were coming, who were being served, who were volunteering, didn't want to leave. Did you notice that? Those who volunteered? There was an energy there, but there was a peace, there was a gentleness, there was a love, there was a joy that was going on that was palatable. I sensed it. But I was talking to some guys who were in part of an authentic manhood who were there, and they had some things that they wanted to talk to me about. And then we turn right around and we find someone else to talk to. So what happens this morning is this. After we have this conversation on text yesterday, and Michael says this morning, hey, Would you like to share something that happened to you yesterday? My first response was, no. I ain't got nothing. Exactly. Hard pass. No, I ain't got nothing. And then I read something. I get some devotionals in the morning. I get something from Wild to Heart. I get something from Rick Warren's Daily Hope. And I have three or four that I just pour through. Well, no sooner had I said no to Michael's invitation to talk to you folks this morning than I get this, and it says, you know, and this is from Rick Warren's Daily Hope, you have to decide in life who or what you're going to live for. All right. And then it says, 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And so that kind of hit me between the eyes. No, I don't want to say anything. I got nothing to share. Far from the truth. I came away energized. I stand here energized. I can't wait for March 30th, which is the last Sunday of March. That's when we do it again. Okay, what we're doing is we're partnering with Humanity Showers. I know you've heard about this, but there's some logistics that take place here. Okay. And what Jordan does with Humanity Showers and what we're doing with Michael and Snake's ministry, we're inviting people to have some, take a shower, get fit, get exchange of clothing. What we want to do in the future is offer a MASH unit where we can actually physically bind wounds. That's biblical. Did you know that? It's biblical to bind one of those wounds, to care for one another, to carry each other's burdens. So what I saw yesterday was this. People would come in, a homeless person would come in just as they are, like this, down, looking around, afraid to be touched, don't really want to interact. They're lacking in humanity, and they don't want to really be here. But the moment they step into that shower, they get exchange of clothing, they step into that shower, they come out, you know, a few minutes later, they're standing erect. They're looking each other in the eye. They're looking at us in the eye. And they say, well, this happened a month ago, but it's as simple as this. Guy comes out of the shower. He goes over. He gets a burger. He gets some chili. He gets a piece of cake and a donut and some water and stuff, and we're feeding them. And he looks at the server behind the food counter and goes, am I in heaven? I'll say that again. Am I in heaven? Because to that guy, for that moment, heaven touched his heart. The server looked that man in the eye, and he was touched in his heart. I heard that story, and I wanted to do a backflip because it touched my heart. Okay? And sometimes there's some hardness in here, folks. That God has to take a sledgehammer, crack open, and say, hey, look out and see who's hurting. So I'm going to finish with this. This moment in this church, you have stood up, some volunteers here. One of the things about skills and abilities, design, partnering with a spiritual gift, you know, that's very possible in all of us. God, in his great provision, designed us to be good at something. But when we partner that with a spiritual gift, we should be unstoppable. Yesterday, there was kingdom touching earth, kingdom touching us, kingdom touching that person who needed a shower that we can easily give them. We were touching hearts. We were filling bellies. But we were offering the Spirit of God to another human being. There's a blazing word that's been in my mind for the last couple years. Image of God. Image of God. That homeless person is made in the image of the very person that made you and me. We cannot deny that. And I don't want to. You have something to offer. So I'm asking you, I'm delegating you, to be there on the 30th of March, 7:30 in the morning. And I kid you not, if you don't come away a little bit crushed, a little bit joyful, a little bit of wondering, my God, why have I missed this? Or how can I serve you more, God? And we're going to pray for your hard heart. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Very cool. That would just be one of many opportunities for you that are either organized or just what you do when you walk through life and meet your neighbor. Every day, filled with the Spirit of God, with something to give, something to say, some love to hand out. It's pretty remarkable. Okay, you ready to open the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah? All right, let's see what we can do. I'm thinking we might have to shorten a little bit because we've had a lot of wonderful activity this morning. So let's see what we can do. I want to say that last week we quoted this phrase from 1 Timothy where Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And we just paused on that phrase and I told you this picture of the fight, the intensity of the fight. We talked about what is the fight, who's the enemy, what is the faith. It's important to know that the faith refers to not faith. Faith is trusting in God, having confidence in someone, especially God in this context. The faith, when it has that word the in front of it, is a particular thing. You find that phrase in the Bible, and it refers to the body of truth, the revelation that's been given to us once and for all, about who God is, about who people are, about the world is like. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. This revelation right here, that's the faith. And it includes everything that we are called to be and do as a result of what the faith teaches us. Does that make sense? Okay, so we read in other places in the Bible, we read this last week in Jude, that Jude was calling the people of God to contend for the faith. And we discovered that when you're contending for the faith, you enter into a fight. That Jesus, when he came to this earth and began declaring the kingdom of God is here, he was actually making a statement of war against another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. And that's a theme that's quite well developed in the Bible, and we're probably going to develop it a bit here. One of the other things we learned, it's good to remind ourselves what we learned, right? Because repetition is a teacher's best friend. That's why I sometimes say things over and over and over. We learned that the word good that's used in that phrase, fight the good fight of the faith, is an interesting word because the author writing in Greek had a couple choices. He could have used a word that means something that's just intrinsically good because it's good by design, and he didn't use that word. He used another word that means good that can be observed from like a spectator, and it was again back to the image of the Olympic Games. And the idea is this, if you've ever seen an athlete in a wrestling match do a good move, you go, that was a good move, because they had a certain skill, a certain technique. That's the kind of word good that's being used there. And the idea is, the fight is the good fight when you are doing the fight according to the moves, quote unquote, that God has designed, which don't make sense in our world. In another place, Paul says, we do not fight the way the world fights. The weapons of our warfare, this is 1 Corinthians 10, are powerful. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we discovered, wow, there's strange things in this fight. Like if you get taken down by temptation into sin, the fight is not to try to do better. That's not a good fight at that point. The good fight is to, on your knees, look up to the cross where Jesus shed his lifeblood for me to forgive me from my sins and cleanse me from all righteousness and give me his righteousness. When I do that, I'm actually fighting the good fight of the faith. So that's the kind of stuff we talked about last week. I thought this week that I'd be opening up that famous passage in Ephesians 6 that talks about the armor of God. You know that one? Where Paul says, you know, we don't fight against people. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness in high places. Therefore, take on the full armor of God that you can make your stand. And having done all, stand against the schemes of the evil one. That's what I thought I was going to talk to you about. But then in prayer on Friday, I was told, I think, that was the wrong message. So we're going to do that message at some time in the future, I think. I felt like the Lord said, no, I want you to focus on not the defensive posture, but the offensive posture, because that's in the Word of God, too. So we're going to take a little time, hopefully, to get that up and in our minds. You ready? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Let me start with a story from the Bible. This is a story about the kingdom of God. I've mentioned it many times, but I just want to read it again to us. Remember that the kingdom of God, that phrase means the dynamic rule and reign of God. It is what is happening when God's will is being accomplished in a place, in a people. In Matthew 12, we read the story that Jesus has encountered a man who's both blind and unable to speak, and he heals him, and he heals him by casting out a demon that was causing the condition. Well, the religious leaders start saying, yeah, look at that guy. The reason he can do that is because he's actually in league with Satan. So they try to turn it around and say, actually, he's actually a bad guy, don't trust him. And he said, that's absurd on the face of it, because if Satan's casting out Satan, he's got a divided house and it's going to crumble. That's ridiculous. But here's what's going on. Here's the quote of Scripture, Matthew 12, 28. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When you see the works of Jesus, when you see healing, when you see deliverance, when you see broken hearts being made well, when you see all the ministry of Jesus, you can know for sure the kingdom of God has come in that location. And you can know in your life, when you go into a situation where there's chaos, or there's fear, or there's disease, or there's darkness, and you say, according to the words of Jesus, Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in this situation, on earth as it is in heaven, and something changes, you can know that is evidence, not that you must be a really good prayer, you must be really anointed, you must have figured out the technique for spiritual warfare. No, it means the kingdom of God has come in that moment. And that is an essential understanding. The work of the ministry of Jesus is not about me figuring out all the best and greatest and newest spiritual warfare techniques. It's about the grace of God who has caused his kingdom to come in Jesus and has said, my kingdom is now here. The presence of the future is breaking in on you. So you pray, let your kingdom come and watch what I will do. And his grace comes and destroys the power of the evil one. Make sense? That's a thought of the kingdom. Now here's the question for you. Who is attacking whom in this story? In this fight? Jesus is coming attacking the strongholds of Satan. He's not on the run. In this case, Satan's on the run. He's being aggressive. He has an offensive posture. Does that make sense? Sometimes our role is that way. When we come in as a rescuing force to bring freedom to those who are oppressed with the Word of God and the power of His Spirit, we are on the offense. So it's still the good fight of the faith, but it's forcefully advancing. And we are called to do just that. Here's another scripture that's interesting. It's actually the rest of that story, verse 29. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man, then he can rob his house? He's describing what he just did. He came in, and he tied up the strong man, Satan, and robbed his house. Do you see that? He's the aggressive one in this story. And we're called to join him in this. You see, Jesus on the cross has tied up and bound up the strong man of this world. And he sent us to plunder his house. When we bring the message of salvation in Jesus, that's exactly what's happening. Now, I want to talk about salvation. and think about what you already know about salvation, putting your faith in Jesus, things we talk about all the time, but what's actually happening in the realm of the kingdom world. When someone puts their faith in Jesus, trusts him with their life, some things happen, right? Like, what happens? Say that again. No, when you put your faith in Jesus, what happens? Writes his law on your heart. Very good. Sins are forgiven. Addictions are often completely broken in a moment that sometimes happens. God breaks into your life. Okay, the Bible describes it in language like this, as well as what you just said, which is true. This is 1 Corinthians. No, it's Colossians. And where is it in my notes? There it is, Colossians 1:11 through 14. Couldn't find it. Paul is writing about salvation. And listen to the language. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Here's the language now. He has delivered you from the domain or the kingdom of darkness, domain and kingdom, same word, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Salvation, in this language, is an exchange of sovereignties. It is kingdom against kingdom. If you put your faith in Jesus, you were moved, you were rescued out of one kingdom and brought into another kingdom. An exchange of kings and an exchange of kingdoms. That's a different way to look at it, but it's important if you're thinking about Jesus saying, look, I have tied up the strong man, and I want you to plunder his house. I want you to steal his goods. And what are his goods? The people that he has held under oppression, in sin, in addiction, in bondage. When you are plundering your house, his house, you are taking his captives and setting them free and bringing them out of his dark kingdom into the kingdom of God. And Jesus' plan is that he would bind the strong man and he would send us as an aggressive force to set at liberty those who've been imprisoned to establish the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? The Bible teaches that Satan is a usurper. Here's more language that's rather surprising. 1 John 5:19. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. What a statement. That's the biblical perspective. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. An author that I love, Don Williams, wrote a book called Start Here. It's about the kingdom for Christians to understand, especially new Christians. I'd recommend it, by the way, if you're looking for a book to study and grow in. Here's a quote from that book regarding this activity, this aspect, this setting free. The deepest emptiness in our lives, the hole in our souls, is the absence of God. Satan promises that we can fill that hole with substances, with activities, with products, and with people. Yet the truth is that we are made for God. And without his life in us, we will remain spiritually dead and eternally lonely. We have been made to love God and to love each other as ourselves. But apart from God, even people become idols. And we enter into codependent, addictive relationships with people. And every relationship then is perverted. That's a picture of the whole world is under the power of the evil one. But God has sent his Son and the people of his Son, the Church of Jesus Christ, to set at liberty those who have been held captive by Satan. Now let me read another section of Scripture. You still with me? Okay, we're going to read Ephesians, and we're going to read a whole paragraph. I know some people like, I want one sentence. I'm giving you a whole paragraph. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. This is another bit of language to describe this exchange of sovereignties. And it's so important to understand this as we approach our lives and our callings, as we contend for the faith and fight the good fight of faith and join Jesus in plundering hell to populate heaven. As for you... This is Paul writing to a Christian church, just like us. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Here you see it again. Satan is called the ruler of the kingdom, ruler of the air. He's got authority in this world, and Jesus has come to break his back and break that authority. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying, this describes you and me, gratifying the cravings of sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. We stood guilty before the justice of God, and the wrath of God, which is the appropriate punishment for the sins that we commit, was upon us. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. That's why we could sing earlier and shout, freedom! Because he set us free. It is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's the transfer out of one kingdom into another. We went from being oppressed, prisoners of war, into being in the throne of God himself, seated in a place with Jesus in a new kingdom in an exchange of sovereignties. For it is by grace you've been saved, verse 8. Through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. For God, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has already prepared for us. When salvation comes, there is an attack on the house of Satan. Do you understand that? So we're talking about forcefully advancing. Here's another quote from that book I referred to start here. Jesus' mission was not to bring God's judgment down on people. His mission was to break the back of Satan and lift God's judgment from them. Freedom. Because he's quoting John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him to save the world. Now, when Jesus saves people from the oppression and the rulership of the kingdom of darkness, transfers them into the kingdom of his dear Son, he is building his church. His church is the community of people who have been rescued and now come together to worship God and to grow in God and love each other and work together to become more like Jesus in their world. That's the church. Jesus said this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Often people preach that with the church in a defensive place. God's building his church, and don't worry, Satan's attacks aren't going to get to you. But I want to suggest a reversal. Gates don't attack people. Gates refer to the place in the city where the elders would meet to make decisions for the city. I think more likely, based on what I was just reading and what we know about Jesus and his plan of attack to bring this world under the rule and reign of Jesus himself, where we can sing at Christmas time and Handel's Messiah, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, right? So, I think what's happening here, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, is the church is coming against the gates of hell. Like you did yesterday. Going right in, and guess what? The gates of hell have no chance against the church that Jesus is building, because it's forcefully advancing with the power of Almighty God himself, because he loves this world and he wants to rescue people. from the darkness and the oppression and the affliction and the sickness and the disease and everything that Satan, the usurper, has foisted on this beautiful planet that God has created of his own good pleasure, creating people that he loves intimately and infinitely. He's come to rescue us, and he sent you and me, who've been rescued, to be rescuers with him. And the gates of hell will not prevail against that church. That's what I'm trying to say. So here's another scripture that has this language. How you doing? Okay. Looking at the clock, too. You know, there's a place in scripture where the guy commanded the clock to stop. But we couldn't do that every Sunday, or we'd have a time problem. Matthew 11, from the days of John the Baptist, Jesus speaking, until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. That's the picture, and that's the phrase from which I just took the phrase for this title, forcefully advancing, or advancing forcefully. Now, pause for a moment. Are you laying hold of the kingdom of God forcefully? Or are we possibly sitting back in our leisure sometimes, not laying hold of it, not saying, oh my God, I'm part of an army. God, the people in my life have to be saved. I won't rest till they know you. I won't rest till this addiction is broken. I won't rest till they're set free of the things that bind them up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek. I'm going to press in. I'm going to lay hold of you. I'm going to lay hold of the eternal life to which I've been called. And I'm going to fight the good fight of faith, forcefully advancing the kingdom of God against the gates of hell. I think there's a posture that I need to have, and maybe some of you need to join me in having this posture that I'm not sure I have yet, that is forceful, laying hold of the call of God in our lives to make a difference in this world for the name of Jesus, till every knee bows, every tongue confesses that Jesus is the Christ, and the earth is filled with worship that he deserves, that he has paid for, that he is to receive. The world should be filled with worshiping voices. Like what we just experienced 45 minutes ago, that should be the state of the whole world. Just think of the freedom and the joy that you were in worshiping your God, your Savior, your Deliverer, your Healer. Much of the world doesn't know what you just experienced. We're called to bring that message. Now I'm going to have to abbreviate the rest of this teaching without reading the scriptures to you. We can do that. This is nothing new. It's what you know already. But I was going to read to you three places. The first is in Luke 9, where Jesus calls 12 people and gives them power and authority over sickness, disease, demons, and sends them out, the 12 disciples, now apostles, and says, I want you to go into all these cities. I want you to proclaim the kingdom of God is here, the rule and authority. Heal their sick and drive out their demons. And most of us can go, wow, that sounds tough. I'm glad I'm not one of the 12. So then the next chapter, he calls 72 others. They have no names. They're just unnamed disciples. 72 others, and sends them out with the same message. They're not apostles. They're just like you and me. But apparently, Jesus is interested in taking normal people and empowering them to do extra normal things in his name to set people free. Well, later on, the passage that you hear all the time in churches, Matthew 28, he takes what he did with the 12 and what he did with the 72, and now he makes it applicable to everyone who will ever become a follower of Jesus to this day. I'll read the sentence, you know it. Jesus came to the now only 11 disciples after his death, his resurrection on a mountain, last chapter of Matthew, and said, all the authority, a king has authority, I've got it now, all authority in heaven and on earth is mine. Therefore, I'm sending you. You go into the entire planet. Remember the absurdity of this. This is 11 guys in a podunk town in the middle of nowhere. They're not rich. They're not educated. Most of them don't even know how to read. They're fishermen. They're blue-collar workers. They're just normal people. He says to them, you go to the ends of the world and make disciples for me and teach them everything I taught you, which is everything that I just told you. He gave them power and authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to proclaim the good kingdom of God is at hand, and anyone can enter in by simply putting their faith in the King Jesus. Anyone. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be intelligent. You don't have to have religious understanding. You don't have to have anything other than willingness to trust in Jesus and you'll be in his kingdom. That's it. Everyone gets to play. Everyone comes to the table. There's a seat for everyone. Take that message, make followers of me, and then you teach them everything that I taught you and tell them to teach their disciples everything that I taught you to tell them that they're going to teach the next disciples, and on and on and on. And he said this, I'm not sending you alone. I surely am with you to the very ends of the age. The word of the Lord. We are called. If you're in here and you just this morning gave your life to Jesus, you're called to fight this good fight. You have something to say and something to do. Remember what I said earlier. When the kingdom of God comes, it's not because some person has achieved super Christian status. It's because God is gracious. There's a war going on. Jesus said, my kingdom is here, but it's not yet fully here, so you better pray that it would get fully here. And a day is coming when I'm going to return, and it will be fully here. Right now, it's coming in taste, but you better pray, because if you pray, more of taste will come, and very often my kingdom will break through the heavens into your situation, and people will be set free from the oppression of this usurper Satan, the devil, the one who has the gates of hell that will never prevail against the church I'm building. If you've put your faith in Jesus, you're part of that church. And you have an assignment from your God. Well, how do I do it? I'm glad you asked. You asked good questions. We call it around here so often a holy hello. Start with hello. Find people in your life and say hello and listen to the Lord and go to the questions. Remember the three questions? Practical training right here. Ready? And I'll end with this. First question. Can I ask you a question? Second question. If they say sure, you can ask the second question. If they say no, move on. Second question. Hi, I'm Ron. I'm learning how to pray for people. I'm wondering, is there something in your life I could pray for? If they say, no, I'm good, move on. If they say, oh, let me think about that. Yeah, actually. Now you are in and you are cooking with grease. They have no idea what's about to hit them. Now that you have something to pray for, you say, okay, I'm going to pray for you right now. Really, right now? I thought you were going to go home. No, right now I'm going to pray for you. Lord, would you let your kingdom come and your will be done in this person's life? And you listen. And you just might have God give you a little bit more than you bargained for because he gives you some insight into their situation. And now you're ready to pray and tell things that are about the heart of that person and their needs. I've seen this happen so many times in churches, but more often outside of churches. Let your kingdom come. when you pray that prayer very often, the power and authority of a loving God will break through the heavens into that moment, and the person will literally feel the presence of heaven come upon them. And you can see it. And if you're smart, you'll pay attention and slow things down a little more. Talk a little about, do you feel that? That's the peace of God. I know, and their tears are coming. And you're like, what just happened? I just met a guy and said hello. It became a holy hello. You good? To get to this place, you have got to cross the chicken line. Because it's scary for all of us. But there's gold on the other side of the chicken line. There's chicken feet on this side. But on this side, there's gold. Cross the chicken line with the three questions. I just gave you two. The third question is really fun. I wonder, have you ever invited Jesus into your life? Put your faith in him to be your Lord and your Savior. Would you like to? That's a scary question. But you might as well ask the third since you already did the first two. That simple formula, ladies and gentlemen, is really easy to remember. Can I ask you a question? I'm learning to pray for people. Can I pray for you? Have you ever invited Jesus into your life? You do that, and you'll be doing everything we just read in the New Testament. Everything. And your life will change. And you'll like it, I promise. Let's stand together. Lord, let your kingdom come upon us right now. We stand before you, a little bit chicken, a little bit scared, but also with a little bit of faith. And we want to join your army. We see people in our lives who are hounded by addiction, by broken relationships, by depression, by anxiety, by fear and anger and hatred, by abuse, by every evil thing. And we want to be part of your team. We want to be part of your army that fights a good fight of the faith and sets people free for the glory of God and the blessing of people. We pray, oh God, this day, let your kingdom come upon us and your spirit come upon us to fill us that we would be the army of God fighting your good fight. Hear us, oh Lord. Make us a people who do the works of Jesus, rejoicing all the way. Let your spirit be upon us. I believe the kingdom of God is here right now. And in this kind of atmosphere and moment, the works of the kingdom are ready to happen amongst us. And we've got a couple people down in the front that want to pray for folks. If you're here and you need some freedom, today's your day. If you're here and there's dark powers that you think are from hell itself that have been harassing you, come and let us pray over you and drive them far from you by the power of God. If you're here and you have sickness or disease of any sort in your body, come and let us ask God to put his kingdom upon you. Remember, Jesus said, if I cast out a demon by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He would have said the same thing about bringing healing. We want to pray in faith, asking God's kingdom to come and set you free from your sickness and disease. The kingdom of God is here.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. This weekly podcast is available on our website, gracevcf.org, where you can learn more about Grace Vineyard and our vision for people everywhere to know and worship God.